Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, February 11th, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I also have John Martellaro with me. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning.
And I want to talk to both of you. First of all, this is a follow-up. I was threatened that we're going to follow up on something when we have more to report. And today, believe it or not, we actually do. Our first topic today is that some time ago, Apple had announced that it was going to work with the VA, the Veterans Administration here in the U.S., to make health records available on iPhones for veterans so that they can consolidate all of that information and have it all in one place. Now, Andrew, you wrote this up because it looks like that project has come to fruition.
Yeah, so this was last year. There was this news that Apple was trying to develop what it sounded like was the special software for the VA, and they had like their own team of engineers working on it. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that it's just health records, what everyone already has. And so now the VA is an official supported institution, which means that veterans, hopefully, they can see and manage their medical records a whole lot easier.
And what that actually means, according to the press release, what they're talking about when they talk about health record data is allergies, conditions, if you're, you know, diabetic or something like that, immunizations, lab results, medications, procedures, and vital statistics. And that all shows up in the health app for you, just like any of your, you know, exercise data and anything that, you know, any of that exercise stuff you get from your watch, for example, like that all, the way that all shows up in the health app, this does too. And the reason that that's nice is because we know all of that data is very well protected, and the data is encrypted and protected with whatever the security measure is that you choose to employ, whether you're still using a passcode or whether you're using Touch ID or Face ID, all of it's hidden behind that. So it's reasonably secure, as we've proven with credit card information. And one of the nicest things about that to me is that it's easier to have all of that information in one place. This is one of the things that we talked about with like the EKG on the Series 4 Apple Watch, having the opportunity to have all of that information available, you know, when you go to the doctor and you can say, like, I had this problem, I did this thing, whatever. Having all of that available in one place is super convenient, especially when that place happens to be the computer that lives in your pocket that you carry around with you all the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it works on the other side, but I wonder if maybe there's some special health records module that, like, connects or plugs into the VA's software system. So maybe that's the special software that Apple was talking about.
That was what I was presuming, was that there was some sort of way, there was something that was going to be necessary in order to hook up whatever they're using for digital record keeping now at the VA so that it was accessible through the health app. And that's like, that's the piece I'm almost more interested in, because we've seen what health records are going to look like as more, as it opens up to more people. Like, they've opened up that API. I think it was like WWDC last year that the health records API became something publicly available for anybody that wanted to use that health records data, you know, or be able to take advantage of that health record data, that you could do all of that on your phone. And they opened that up last summer. So I'm the thing I want out of, like, when Apple, because the reason this all came to light is because Apple issued a press release. And part of what I want out of that press release is just the broad strokes of, you know, this is what we had to do. We had to be able to translate the electronic record keeping system that they have at the VA into something that Apple could read. And we did that with this particular thing, or, you know, added this particular functionality to the API, which makes it even more useful for other people going forward who are using the same kind of system. You know, I want to find out more about that piece. That's, I think, what I'm the most curious about, is how they did it.
That interested me too, because I was surprised that the VA was able to keep up with Apple technically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the amount of time from Apple said, we're going to work with the VA on this, to Apple going, it's available to veterans now, was really surprising to me, given the size of the VA.
Well, it's probably because the data set's limited. It's not probably not all-inclusive. The best way to start a program like this is to get a little bit of it going and test it and see if everything works, and then you can start expanding the scope.
Right. But, like, just...
Yeah, 'cause
go ahead.
The numbers that they mention, 9 million veterans across 1,243 facilities.
Yeah. Because the VA is the largest medical system in the U.S., if I'm not mistaken. It's by far the biggest, because it's 100% nationwide, and it has to be able to serve all of those people. And I know my dad is a veteran. My dad goes to the VA regularly for different things, and I know how hard it is for him to just get an appointment for a thing. he needs his eyes checked, or he has to go to the doctor for something. And I know what that's like. So when I saw this, I was curious how well it was going to actually go. And it seems like, if nothing else, it went quickly, which is very surprising. Mm-hmm. So I was interested in that. And I was also interested in the fact that, again, in the press release, one of the things that they point out is that all of the health record data is encrypted and protected. Like we talked about with whatever security you have on your phone, whether it's a passcode or Touch ID or Face ID. So, John, I know that's a thing that probably makes you happy to hear. Is that all of that information? All that information is behind that same security measure.
Yeah, in transit as well, I presume.
To the best of my knowledge, they didn't elaborate on that, but to my knowledge, yes.
Yeah, of course, we always have lingering concerns about all that collected data being a target. Mm-hmm. As soon as you start organizing, collecting data, it's a target. But as I recall, medical data on the iPhone is stored in the secure enclave, isn't that right?
Yes.
And that's really hard to get to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm glad about, because I would like to think that as the health record API becomes more commonly used, that's a piece that's sort of non-negotiable, that all of that information does get stored behind Touch ID or Face ID or whatever it is that you want. So I'm hoping that that ends up being overall that ends up being more secure.
Yeah, so, I think so.
Yeah. Now, so I'm going to take a poll. I think it would be awesome, because I already do a certain amount of medical record keeping on my phone. Like if I'm getting sick or have to go to the doctor or something, like I start writing down ahead of time, like here's all the questions I actually have for when I get there, so I don't forget and just sit there on the paper and go, oh, everything's fine, it's all great, I'll tell you, okay, okay, bye, and then leave. Like, I start writing stuff down ahead of time, like, what is this, and how does it work, and what do I need to know, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, I'm already doing
that.
That's
what I do, too.
Yeah, I'm already doing that on my phone with just, you know, notes, because that's not...
All right, that's what I do, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, I keep, you know, I have my little list in draft ahead of time, but being able to have all of that information in one place, and be able to, you know, show a doctor a list of medications, or a list of conditions or allergies or anything like that, and having all of that information readily available, both to them and to you, you know, as you look at that stuff, that seems super convenient to me, especially because I have faith in that security. So, Andrew, how about you?
Yeah, I think it'd be so cool if, as you're sitting there and the nurse is going through this list asking you, do you smoke, often, do you drink, blah, 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 et cetera. And then, like, all you would have to do is, like, hold your Apple Watch or phone to the special reader. Your records will be automatically injected into the system, so they just have to sit down and look at the list instead of going through and asking you all these questions.
That would be amazing. Like, I didn't even think about it that way. I was just sort of glad to have all of the information at once. But, yeah, like... As everybody, you know, as your insurance changes and you have to pick a new doctor, or something happens and you have to go to an, you know, like you end up at a specialist and maybe, you know, that you haven't been to before. Like, yeah, I like the idea of just, I hold my phone up to this thing and it goes, yeah, here's all that stuff you needed to know. And then you don't have to fill out that form on the clipboard as you wait, you know, before your appointment. Being able to have all of that in there too would be fantastic. John, how about you?
I think that'd be a great idea too. You could preload your health data with personal information that they need over and over again, like you said, and just transmit it. The trouble is, I think doctors' offices are kind of caught up in their own systems and their own paperwork and their own workflow. And
yeah,
it'd be kind of hard to do that with every doctor you visit.
Yeah. And instead of an Apple Pay reader, it would be a health records reader.
Yeah. See, like, I feel like it should be like an add on to the system, to the EMR, the electronic medical record system. So whichever one you're using, you know, just like we have with Apple Pay, like whatever terminals you're using, there's a way to put to make them Apple Pay compatible so that I can bonk my phone and buy stuff at your store. And I would like if the same sort of idea came to health records, so that, you know, much like Apple Pay, like I bonk the thing and it goes, okay, you know, stick your thumb on, like, I still have a home button, stick your thumb on the home button for the touch ID, or like, you know, for John, like, use your face ID and spend a second ingesting all that information into my medical record. And then, like, all of that is available to you. And then the doctor can hit the ground running and doesn't have to spend the first half of your appointment playing 20 questions with you. That'd be great.
So if you're listening, Tim Cook, we have a great idea for you.
It's a $1 million idea, but we're not going to detail it until you pay us. That's how it works now, right?
It occurs to me that dialogue is useful. Having a conversation with the patient creates a rapport. It gives the patient a chance to reflect on and diagnose their own answers to the questions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the answers to the questions vary depending on the state of mind of the patient.
On one hand, yes.
Gives the doctor visibility into the coherence and presence of mind of the patient. So there's some value there in asking those questions.
On the one hand, yes. But on the other hand, like, you know, do you smoke and do you drink and like all of those kinds of things, I just, you know, like, that's not so much conversation as it is question, no, question, no, question, yes, question, no, question, no, question twice a week, question, no, question, no, question, no. Like, I don't feel like that's building any sort of relationship with my doctor because it's not conversation, you know, it was Joe Friday.
It was a crutch for that in the past, and we could get new crutches and move on beyond that and advance the technology.
If your insurance covered those crutches. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm excited about this because I feel like this is one of those ways where Apple can make a real difference, because lots of people have iPhones and this gives lots of people the opportunity to try this out and see how it is. If my dad had an iPhone, I would make him do this immediately so that I could ask him a bunch of questions about it. But the thing that I like about it is that this is the kind of thing where, as consumers get into it, you know, as people who are patients go to doctor's offices and go, I have all my health records in my phone. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to, you know, here's all the information that you need. I want to be able to plug this into your system automatically or whatever. I really like the idea that maybe that will help advance this by Apple being the one to get into the market, because then it doesn't matter what insurance you have or what doctor you go to. Like, anybody with an iPhone is going to have this capability and ask about it, you know, wherever they go.
I hate to ask an irritating question, but is there any analog to this on Android?
To my knowledge, no. I don't know.
Yeah, like Google does, I think, have their own version of the health app, but I don't think they have a health records feature.
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, there's not one. It's not that, like, I think it exists, but I don't know anything about it. It's that in my casual searching to see if there was a way for my dad to do something like this, I wasn't able to find anything. So that's why I would like to know. So if somebody out there is familiar with the Android operating system and can tell us about medical records, now is an excellent opportunity to tell you how to get in touch with us, because we would like to hear from you about a variety of things. And whatever's on your mind, let us know. You can find us at TDO Daily on Twitter. You can TMO Daily on Twitter. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com, and you can always leave a comment in the show notes. Right now, what I want to talk to you about is our sponsor, and our sponsor is ExpressVPN. So today, Luckily, we're talking about security, but not about a security breach. So, hooray. I know that probably worried people when I introduced Andrew, but we don't have a security breach to talk about today, or something that you're doing that's putting your personal data at risk. If you want to make sure that you are not putting your personal data at risk, one of the easiest ways to do that is to use a VPN. And one of the great VPN services out there is ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN makes it so that your data is encrypted, and it hides your public IP address. The apps run on your iPad, on your iPhone, and on your computer. It's one click to turn on, one click to turn off. So you can make sure that nobody is getting at your information who should not be getting at your information. That's always a good thing to know. ExpressVPN is less than $7 a month. And not only is it less than $7 a month, but if you buy a one-year package, you will get 3 months free with the URL I'm about to give you. So get a pen. The URL you need is expressvpn.com/TDO. It's expressvpn.com/TDO. And with a one-year package, you will get 3 additional months for free. Now, Andrew, we're going to talk a little bit now about something that you have, that you are in the process of writing, that you have not written yet. And that is the podcast pick. The podcast picks that you assembled from all the folks at TDO. TMO. I'm getting very confused with my branding today. I apologize. the folks in the towers, you went around and took a little poll and got information from everybody about what podcasts they listened to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't really gone into like looking up information about these podcasts yet. But yeah, I thought it would be a cool... like, sort of, here's what your friendly neighborhood bloggers listen to.
You can say nerds. I'm comfortable with nerds.
Okay, nerds.
Yeah. Plus, neighborhood nerds has the advantage of alliteration, which is kind of nice. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah. So, the thing that was interesting to me was when we talked about this briefly this morning in the meeting, It sort of evolved into a conversation of, you know, I don't really listen to podcasts because I don't have a commute anymore. And, you know, I don't really listen to podcasts, but I listen to music. And then, oh, but I don't listen to music. Oh, but I only listen to music in this way. I only listen to this particular variety of music, you know, that kind of thing. So, John, what was your, because you aren't a great podcast consumer. Like, you don't have a ton of podcasts that you listen to, correct?
Yeah, I'm kind of like Brian. I create and I read and I write. And I just don't have a lot of time to listen to other podcasts. I do listen to Background Mode and MGG, of course, and I mean TDO. But
it's okay. I know you don't listen to my podcast.
When I'm not
John.
On. I do. And,
no, I'm just kidding.
But... number of hours in a day and the things I have to do just don't allow me to sit and relax and listen to other podcasts.
Yeah. And so, and I don't spend a ton of time in the car.
ACM is what I meant.
Yeah. And I don't spend a ton of time in the car. So I don't listen to a lot of podcasts that way. Like, I'm generally listening to music one way or another. So, I don't spend a lot of time with podcasts. And part of that is because I am not wired. I want to hear, like, if I'm going to listen to words, like whether it's an audiobook or a podcast or something like, or, you know, like actually try to pay attention to a TV show or something. I can't listen to words while I'm assembling words of my own. It's hard to do.
Me
for
too.
Me, I can't.
Me too.
I have a complete disconnect.
I love the way you said it in the morning meeting. I can't create words. I can't assemble words while I'm listening to words.
Yeah. It's just too... like, because I'm interested in listening to what the words are, and so that makes it harder for me to assemble my own. And some people are wired that way, and I'm really impressed by those people.
Yeah.
So, like, I can listen to people talking. Like, I can go sit in a coffee shop and work, and that's fine. And that's all super great, because, like, part of my brain is sort of working on tuning those people out, because I'm not paying attention to what they're saying. And it doesn't matter to me what they're saying, and I'm just sort of out and about, and that actually in an odd way helps me concentrate, because like part of my brain, maybe that's the part of my brain that's just telling me about all the other stuff I'm supposed to be doing when I'm trying to concentrate, and that's the part that's now busy with like, don't listen to whatever else is going on around you and just sit here and get your work done. So I don't know. I'm totally speculating. I am not a brain scientist. I know nothing of neurotypical or neuroatypical activity in the brain. I am absolutely not that person. Every disclaimer for that goes right here. I'm totally guessing. But I do find that I can concentrate if I go sit somewhere else, if I want to change of scenery. It's pretty easy to do.
When I write, I listen to piano solos, new age music, instrumentals, like you, movie soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
Finding Nemo is a great soundtrack to write by.
It's a very good one. I do like Finding Nemo. I have a couple of film score soundtracks, like soundtrack stations that I listen to. I just got Apple Music in January, so I haven't spent much time. I haven't had enough time to spend tuning it to get it to just play the stuff that I want to hear. But I do have a couple of others. Like, I used to have one on Spotify that worked pretty well. And one of the nice things about it is that occasionally it will play something from a Pirates of the Caribbean movie, and it makes writing something for TMO super exciting. it gets a lot more, it feels like the stakes are much higher when that's the music that's playing, right? So, I like that. And I stumbled across, both a John Williams radio station and a Raman Djawadi, radio stations on Apple Music. So I've been using those, and the Raman Djawadi one is the one that I would recommend to people who are looking for something instrumental and a little bit different, because it gives you some of the more interesting sounding film scores. So sometimes I want to listen to something that I haven't heard forever, and then sometimes I just go to the John Williams station because I just want to hear the stuff I've been listening to my entire life.
I've heard a John Williams song I didn't like.
Yeah, me either. So I really enjoy, but sometimes I just want to, it's like, the Mr. Rogers cardigan of radio stations. Like, it's comfortable. I know what I'm getting. I've been listening to it forever, and it's comfortable. And then sometimes I just want to hear something a little new and a little different. So I've been putting miles on the Raman Djawadi station and fixing that up. Andrew, what do you like to listen to when you're working?
So the thing with me, I do listen to a lot of podcasts, and I do have a lot of free time during the day.
Uh-huh.
But most of the podcasts I listen to are like 2 to 2.5 hours long, so I still end up having to catch up to all of them.
Yeah.
And when it comes to writing, I think I'm kind of a freak because I don't listen to anything while I write. I'm just sitting there in complete silence.
Well, and sometimes I do that because then I forget, and then I'm like, wow, it's really quiet. What can I do about that? Oh, yeah. I have some really nice headphones and a bunch of music right here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Occasionally, I will use this app that I really like called Nature Space, and it's basically like this looping soundtrack of different nature sounds.
Uh-huh.
But what makes it cool is that they called the sound holographic, so it sounds 3D in your headphones.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'll listen to a bird tweet in the background, and it really will sound like it's behind you.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool.
I remember Nature Space. I met the developers of Nature Space at Macworld. That app's been around for a while.
And, yeah, that's awesome.
It was they were super cool. Like, we were like blown away at that point by, the 3D sound, like what you're talking about, which was super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting. I think we ended up with a bonus article where you're going to talk about what everybody listens to during the day. I'm very curious. We didn't get a chance to get Dave to weigh in, so I'm very curious what his pick is going to be for what he listens to during the day.
Yeah.
So
basically just talk about our favorite music and artists.
Yeah. Or even there's what I listen to the rest of the time, like the record that I'm currently obsessed with right now. Oh, I said record. is totally not what I want to be listening to while I'm working, but the minute I'm not working, that's the record that I'm listening to. And so I have things like that where I switch a lot because I listen to a lot of music during the day. So for me, that's sort of always what's going on, not like TV in the background or anything like that, but given the opportunity, I will generally always have music playing. So sometimes a book, but mostly music. I like to sing along. So
nice.
Yeah. So, So next time you're in town, karaoke is totally the thing that's happening. I think we're going to go ahead and leave it there for today, though. I'd like to thank you guys for being with me today. Thanks for coming by, John.
Hey, it was nice to be here.
And Andrew, thanks for coming by and talking to me.
Yeah, this was a good episode. When you were doing the ad read, you made me realize something I didn't think of. Like, I hope that when you introduce me in the beginning, I'm not some harbinger of security doom.
Hi, everyone. I have half the horsemen of the apocalypse with me today. Hi, data breach. Hi, pestilence. Yeah. We're not. Yeah. No, I don't, because we talk about other stuff sometimes, but only sometimes. So, yes, I think that's the tag for today's show is today. I have on security doombringer Andrew Orr, who actually brings no doom today, so you should totally listen. So maybe that's what we need to do. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, thank you very much for coming by today. I appreciate it.
Yep, thanks for having me.
and for not having a data breach to talk about, that's also probably a good thing. So we're going to go with that. I'm not going to jinx it. We're going to go ahead and end the show so we don't end up with one coming in while we're recording. I've been your host, Kelly Gaumont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.